just want to read for you from a portion that we typically don't read, but still pertains to the Lord's table in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This really to show us the distinctiveness of what we're about here. I know there are many congregations that do what we're doing. They have different names for it. Some call it the Eucharist. Some call it communion, Lord's table, Lord's supper. Some call it a sacrament. But what does the scripture say about it? There's something distinct about what we're about here that by God's grace I trust we understand. And that's in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 10. It's called the cup of blessing. That doesn't mean that it becomes something because we bless it, but it's because it's been blessed of God, therefore we bless it. It says here, the cup of blessing which we bless. It's speaking here of thanking the Lord for this cup that we hold in our hands. But what's it about? The answer is given here in verse 16, 1 Corinthians 10. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? It's not just that it's the cup, but whose blood it is. When we talk about it being communion, what it means is that I am in communion with this one who shed his blood. In other words, it is a confession that when he died for me. That's quite a statement when you think about it. I know there are a lot today that like to say that, well, Jesus died for me. What proof is it? Wherein is the proof? Because there's a distinctiveness about the death of Christ. Even in his death, there was two thieves that railed against him, and yet one was the Lord's all the while, for whom Christ paid the debt. The other went into eternity, condemned man. I trust that we pause and consider that if we're partaking here, it's a declaration of the grace of God in Christ Jesus and in that bloodshed for a sinner such as I am, the communion of his blood. But also it says, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? You think about one bread, one body. He's talking here about the members being of one body. So it's a declaration not only of our communion with Christ, but our communion with one another. And that because of the blood of Christ, this bread which we break, which represents his physical body that bore the sin of his people, then it represents our oneness in him. That's why the next verse says, for we being many are one bread and one body. Now, I don't want to get caught up in a legalistic way of partaking of the Lord's table, but this bread that has been broken here actually came from one piece. And it would be just as easy for us to put that in there that way and pass it, let each person take off a piece to demonstrate that it's all of one body. Here we've broken it, each one takes a part, but let's not forget that it is from one bread, unleavened. That's why it's the shape it is. Roasted in fire represents the sacrifice of Christ. So what it's saying is, partaking of this, no one of us worships the Lord in isolation. It's in relationship to one another. And that's what Paul is writing to the Corinthians, because there was a mixed congregation. There were the Jews, and then the Lord started bringing some Gentiles. People started feeling a little bit. There was rich and poor. A little uneasy here, and I'm sure this is shaping up the way I think it ought to. It doesn't matter. It's not up to you. It's the Lord calling each one. And us as a body receiving each one as one because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on and says, behold Israel after the flesh. So it's talking about unconverted Jews. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? It's interesting that when Paul's writing this, Christ had already paid the debt. And yet there were those persistent Jews after the flesh who continued to eat of the sacrifices that were offered on the altar. You could still go at this time to Jerusalem and there were still sacrifices being offered, even though the one sacrifice had already been slain. Such was their rebellion. And he says, what say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. He's putting them all in one lump. These over here still partaking of the altar. These Gentiles over here offering unto idols, but it's all false worship. But they're all going through the motion. Just like people today when it comes to the Lord's table. They've got their bread. They've got their cup. Each one coming at it however they think. But here's where the Lord makes the distinction. I trust we see it. This is not just a ritual that we're about here, because he says you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. I've been in congregations over the years preaching around the world where I happened to land on the day that they were going to partake of the Lord's table, so-called. But I wasn't comfortable to partake because I could sense I was asked to go to preach, but it wasn't because they believed the message. It wasn't because they believed the Christ I was declaring. You could see that. They're unsettled. But I'm not going to put on a front and say, well, it's the same thing anyway. It doesn't matter. Let's partake. Nope. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord. There's a specific cup that is the Lord's, and it's not a physical cup. It's speaking here of identifying with this one who died, who he is, why he came, what he came to accomplish, what he did. You cannot partake of that cup and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. That's strong language, because it's talking about people that are sincere in what they're doing, yet it's not under the Lord. Table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? So it's just to give pause, which is a good thing, of what we're about here. Partaking of the bread represents something specific to those of us who are the Lord. That body that was broken. And also the cup, the blood that was shed. It took both. It took that body, which he was to work out righteousness, salvation, but it took him shedding his blood. These are the elements that we partake of in remembrance of him. Let's thank him, bless him, and partake. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity, even in the instruction we receive of what we're about here. It's not a ritual, not a sacrament. This bread or drinking this cup is not going to make us any holier before you. It's what it represents, our holiness, our righteousness, and the one who came, for whom that body was prepared, who shed his blood. In his hearts to know him, rejoice in him. Lord, in our partaking, we declare our communion with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in that bloodshed, and with one another. That there not be aught between any one of us, but we consider one another, each one preferring one another above the other, for the honor and glory of your Son. There's no difference when it comes to our standing before you because of him. We're one in him. Make us conscious of that, Lord, and grant us your Spirit that, that be always the way in which we look to you, look to your Son, and look to one another. Mindful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. his dear name. Amen.